I love Christmas. It is one of my favorite times of the year. I know it can be so commercial. And there are so many distractions, you know, all that, I know. There's such a mad rush at this time of year. The other morning at 4:45 a.m., I was taking Carrie to work, and I was just pulling onto the freeway when this woman, I was coming onto the exit, when this woman blew by me onto the exit so quickly. I mean, I didn't see her coming. And I just thought, okay, get ready, you know. Here we go. 'Tis the season. But still, I love Christmas. And, you know, it's not just because the songs, you know, the sounds, the lights, the sights. I love all that. But there's so much more. The Christmas story amazes me. The way God did it, not only how it happened, but why it happened. It is the greatest love story imaginable, combined with the greatest rescue mission imaginable. Let's read this verse together, which sums up much of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I've had an old carol rolling around in my head this past week. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. When we had gone astray, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Real freedom. Not just words, but transformation that goes deep. To save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Genuine hope. Oh, I love Christmas because we need a Savior. It's all about who Jesus is. It's all about what he does. And so as we begin this season, it's entirely appropriate that we look at Jesus' own personal reason for why he came. And he tells it here in John, the 12th chapter, days before his death on the cross. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Let's go ahead and just go there. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 33. Long pause because the pastor ended up in Luke. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd was there and heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. This is the very reason I came. Jesus came to die. He came from the Father into the world he had made, a world broken by sin and sadness and the devil, to restore us and bring us home to joy. And he did it entirely out of love, not because we deserved it, but because he is that good. And because he is, you and I can live not only with hope, but with him. He's promised to be with us always. And if we look to him in the moment, we will receive the beautiful peace that he gives. Jesus said in verse 32, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." And he was referring to his death on the cross in that moment. The next verse, verse 33, makes that clear. He said that to indicate how he was going to die. And here's another place where he says it right before, and it helps us understand. Right before John 3:16, which we read, he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus was referring to what happened when Israel was in the wilderness and poisonous snakes came in among the people. Numbers 21:8 and 9 tell us, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole." Now, what does a snake on a pole look like? We were talking about that with the kids. There's actually, if you're going to put a snake on a pole, there's got to be a cross piece at the top of the pole so that the snake can stay on it. Jesus was pointing to the cross even then. This has actually been a symbol of the church for centuries. Jesus was clear about why he came from the very beginning. He came to win the battle for our souls. Take a look again at John chapter 12. Verse 31, "The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out." Notice that the devil's defeat begins and ends. Begins with finality. In other words, at the cross. This is why Jesus came. While sin still permeates this world, we no longer have to be its slaves. Jesus sets us free to live in a new way where our very identity at the deepest level is lifted into light, and we become a new person. Oh, I hope you know this morning, because you have a beautiful life ahead of you, if you do. Life that is so large that you cannot contain it. John tells it us at the very beginning of his account, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become," what? "Children of God." And this is where the beauty comes in. Regardless of what may happen in this world where the devil, while defeated, still rages, I love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon explains that John is saying. He explains this very clearly. He says, when I have received Christ Jesus into my heart, I am a child of God. That receiving is described in the same verse as believing on the name of Jesus Christ. So then, if I believe on Jesus Christ's name, that is, if I simply trust myself to the heart, from the heart, to the crucified but now exalted Redeemer, I am a member of the family of the Most High. There may be many things that I do not have, but if I have belief, oh, I have the privilege of being God's child. Is that you this morning? Is that you this Christmas? Is that why it's Christmas for you? Because of who Jesus is, because of why he came, because of what he did. Oh, if you haven't trusted Jesus from the heart yet, you can meet him right now. He waits for you and me. Again, remember, this is why I came. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. He comes into our brokenness. He comes to meet you and me right in those places that we don't want to bring to church. And he looks on us with this incredible love where he knows us. He knows us. He knows the things that no one else does. And he loves us still. Not only does he love us, he loves us so much that he goes to the greatest length. Imagine what Jesus did in becoming human. But then imagine in becoming human what he did for us. Oh, believe in him. Receive him. And the miracle of Christmas, God coming to us, making our home, his home with us, will happen right here, right now. And there is nothing better. Oh, to be God's child. That's everything. That's everything. May we pray. Oh Lord, may we be in that place of comfort where we can say, yes, Abba, Father, I'm yours. I trust you. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you came. And that you're so good, that there's so much love in you, that you did this because regardless of anything I've done, you're greater and your love is greater. And you died on the cross to show that and to bring me home. And I receive what you did for me at the cross. I receive, Lord, oh, forgive me of my sins. And I praise you for what you did. And I ask, Lord, live in me through your Spirit, through your love. Oh, that I may be your very own, not just this Christmas, but for all of eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.